of John, the Gospel of John, and find chapter 6. The Gospel of John, chapter number 6. So good to see all of you this morning here in church. I know there's some people out of town, and possibly some people not feeling well this morning, but you're here, and I pray that the message would be an encouragement and a blessing to you. I wasn't sure exactly if this was what God would have me to preach, this message. He laid it on my heart this week, and I kind of tried to fight it and tried to shrug it off, but I just couldn't get away from it. And I believe it's the message that God has for this hour, and I'm going to be faithful to preach it. And I hope and pray, like I said, that it'll be a blessing to you. John chapter 6. Now, before I get to preaching, I just want to mention about some of the things that are in the bulletin. I made a mistake last week in advertising some dates, and I want to clarify the dates of the harvest party that were in the bulletin last week. Those are not the right dates. It's going to be October 28th. It's a Saturday that we are going to have the harvest party. I just wanted to make that clarification. I'm sorry. That was my fault. And I guess I'm not doing very well this week. So I locked myself out of the van this morning, and you know, it's been a rough week. And Brother Carlson and I hopped in the van to go over and get some gas this morning to make sure the van had gas for Sunday school and the rest of the day. And we got out, and I never leave the keys in there. I don't know what I was doing, what I was thinking. I hopped out, and I had the chip key on my key, and it was the van was running. Hopped out and forgot the chip key, slammed the door, and locked myself out. And it was a tense moment for me. And Brother Carlson and I, we figured it out, and Brother Carlson was there to calm me down, and and I'll say, it's all right, brother, it's okay. And we got through it, and praise the Lord. We were gassing up the vehicle after I went home and got the key, called a cab, went home and got the key, the extra key, and got back. And I said, what time is it? He said, we've got 6 minutes. And I was like, oh, man, we better get going. And so we got back here, but amen. So the Lord worked it out. It's always something. It's an adventure on Sunday morning. I'm telling you, getting to church, some of you know it's an adventure. It really is, getting everybody ready, and there's always something that seems like the devil's, just at work a lot of the times, keeping people from church. And praise the Lord, we're here. So that I just want to make that clarification that that the harvest party is going to be on that Saturday, the 28th, and not on the Friday that I had originally advertised it as. So. And there might be something else I'm forgetting, but I can't remember right now. So I'm just going to go ahead and preach this message this morning. Sunday school. We've had a wonderful time in Sunday school these last couple weeks. We've started a new program, King's Kids, and the kids are memorizing their Bible, the books of the Bible. And I heard one of our Sunday school children, was it Melissa? She got to say her books of the Bible to her grandma on the phone. Is that right? Boy, that must have been a thrill for grandma. And so we're teaching them, and we've had visitors come just about every week. Micah has been praying for visitors to come. He's wanting to invite some neighbor kids, and he got three of them to come last week. Three first-time visitors. He went out last week on Saturday. I took him around the block, and we got three visitors to come, and so he was excited about that. And we need help. We're having more kids show up. We're going to need help, and some of you have shown an interest in that. And if you'd like to help, we need all the help that we can get. And so see myself or my wife Lori about that. I heard about a preacher who was new in town, and he had just gotten to this place, just taken this church in this town, and he was walking around the city trying to find the post office, and he just couldn't find it. Couldn't find out where it was, and he saw this little boy playing on the sidewalk, and he said, son, could you tell me where the post office is? And the little boy looked at him kind of funny, like, you don't know where the post office is? And he said, well, you go down a couple blocks, and then you turn left, go down another couple blocks, turn right, and it's a big red building, you can't miss it. And the preacher said, well, I appreciate that, son, thank you so much. And he said, by the way, I'm the new pastor in town, and I'm the pastor of such and such a church, and I'd love for you to come to Sunday school tomorrow, and if you do come, I'll tell you how to get to heaven. And the little boy just kind of gave him a funny look and said, I don't think so. You can't even find the post office. So you never know, but anyway, before I get lost in thought, I better get preaching this message. But amen, it's been a blessing with Sunday school. I just wanted to say that. It's been a real blessing with the kids, and looking forward to what the Lord's going to do in their hearts and in their lives in the future. Amen. John chapter 6, let me read my text, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get right into the message. John chapter 6, and let's start reading in verse number 47. John chapter 6, verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If a man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, as I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you once again for the opportunity and the privilege of preaching your word. Lord, I do not take this responsibility lightly, Lord, and I thank you for the message that you've given me, Lord, this week. And Lord, I pray that it would be a blessing and an encouragement to those who are here this morning. Lord, help us, teach us. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, guide us into all truth, Lord, and may our hearts be open now to receive the message. And I pray, Lord, this morning, if there's anybody here that's not saved, that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, that they would make that all-important decision to trust Christ today before they leave this building, before they leave this place, Lord. May they get that matter settled in their heart and life. Lord, be honored and glorified and lifted up, Lord, in everything that's said and done in the preaching this morning. In your name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Here in these verses, Jesus is speaking to a large crowd of people, and he ends up offending a good majority of them. There were a good many people listening to the Lord Jesus speak that day, and the Bible says they were offended at his words. They had a problem with some of the things that he had said. The Bible says in verse 60, many of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Because they were offended at the words of Jesus, the Bible says in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now remember, these were not scribes or Pharisees from all that I can gather reading the scriptures. These were not publicans or sinners that Jesus is speaking to here. The Bible says these were Christ's disciples. They were followers of Christ, and they were offended at His preaching. Now my question this morning is why? Why were they offended at Christ's preaching? Why did they turn their backs on Christ that day and decide, we're not going to walk with this man anymore? We cannot walk with this man. The Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And these people made a conscious decision that, hey, we cannot follow this man because of the words that he has spoken to us. Why? Why did they choose to make that decision? Why were they offended? I'm going to preach this morning on the subject, why some people get offended at Bible preaching. Why some people get offended at Bible preaching. Why do some people get all mad and upset because of old-fashioned, fundamental, sin-killing, devil-hating Bible preaching? Now, I know you're going to find this hard to believe, but as nice of a guy as I am, I've actually had people get mad at me for preaching the Bible and taking a stand for what's right. I know that's hard for some of you to believe. But the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Paul gave Timothy the exhortation to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You know, some people get easily offended when the truth is preached, when the truth is spoken. And that's unfortunate. My pastor, Dr. Don Green, has been pastoring 50 years in the ministry. He said this, he said, when people are easily offended by preaching, it's usually because they have their fender sticking out. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. I grew up around preaching. I grew up in church. I was in church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, and I was under preaching. And I know I used to get mad at my dad for preaching this book as a teenager, sitting in church and going through those years of rebellion against God. And I remember sitting in church services just like this one, and he'd preach, and boy, he'd tighten down on some standards and some issues that I was going through in my life, and I would get mad. I would just get mad. I'd get red. And it wasn't because what he was preaching was wrong. It was because I wasn't right with God. My heart was not right with God. And you know, my dad used to say all the time, don't get mad at me for preaching this book. Get mad at God. He's the one that wrote it. And I know some preachers have wonderful personalities. Other preachers don't have any personality at all. Some preachers are eloquent and others are not. Some preachers are good looking and suave. And others are bald and ugly like me. But we have to remember that the preacher is just the messenger. You know, too many times we focus too much on the messenger and not enough on the message. Too many times we come to church and we miss out on what God has for us because we're focused on the messenger instead of on the preaching. I know because I've done the same thing myself. I remember sitting in church and thinking, boy, I don't like that preacher. He yells too much. Or I don't like that preacher. He talks too soft. He doesn't speak up enough. Or I don't like that preacher. He didn't quote enough scripture. Or I don't like that preacher. He misquoted a verse. I don't like that preacher. He preached too long. That was a big one for me. I don't like long preachers. And then, you know, preacher preached too short. I'd be like, nah, that preacher preached too short. I don't like that. But, you know, we have to remember that the man of God is still a man. And we can't focus more on the man than on the message and expect to get something from God. The message is what is important. Now, Jesus was God in the flesh. He was the God-man. He was perfect. So we know that it wasn't His personality that rubbed the people the wrong way here in these verses. It must have been the message that He preached. It must have been the words that He spoke. Now, what was it that Jesus said in these verses that caused the majority of His followers to turn back from following Him? What was it that Jesus said in these verses that these people found so offensive and hard to receive? Well, in verse 48, He said, I am that bread of life. In verse 51, He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He said in verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He said in verse 60, he said in verse 58, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And then in verse 60, the Bible says, when they had heard this, they were offended, and they said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? Let me tell you why some people get offended at Bible preaching. They get offended because of their lack of spiritual discernment. They get offended because of their lack of spiritual discernment. You say, what do you mean? Well, it takes some measure of spiritual discernment to be able to hear, comprehend, and receive the message from the Word of God, the meat of God's Word. Now, Jesus was the Word in flesh. Amen. He was the Word come down. He was a living Word. He was truth incarnate. And all Jesus was trying to do in these verses was show the people that God had sent Him and only Him to be the Savior of the world, the final sacrifice for sin, and that only through His sacrificial death and shed blood could they hope to obtain eternal salvation and forgiveness of sin. That's all that Jesus was trying to get across to them in these verses. And that's what He meant when He said, I am the bread come down from heaven. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Jesus wasn't talking about the literal eating of His flesh and the literal drinking of His blood. That's not what Jesus was talking about. He was talking in these verses about sinners placing their faith in His death and shed blood for salvation and receiving Him as their personal Savior. But because they didn't have enough spiritual discernment to fill a thimble, they weren't able to comprehend or understand the words of Christ, and they were offended at His preaching. The Bible says there in verse 41, they murmured. The Bible says the Jews then murmured at Him because He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. The Bible says in verse 52, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us His flesh to eat? And then in verse 60, they said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? And they were offended. And in verse 66, the Bible says, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. See, when people get offended and upset at a preacher for preaching sound Bible doctrine, it's usually because they're immature and they lack the spiritual discernment required to receive and digest the strong meat of God's Word. Now, these people here in this passage of Scripture, in this chapter, in the first part of this chapter, Jesus feeds the multitudes. Amen? He multiplies the bread and the fishes, and He feeds the hungry multitudes. This is the same crowd. Okay, they followed Him. Jesus went in a boat, and there was a storm, and He calmed the storm. He went to the other side. They followed Him. And so they're now following Jesus Christ because of the loaves and the fishes. These were carnal and fleshly people. They were more interested in having Jesus supply or fulfill their fleshly appetites than they were in receiving the strong meat of God's Word from Him. And so we see in Christianity today, there's many people out there who want to have that flesh satisfied. They want to come to church. They want to be in a service where they can have that fleshly fulfillment. And they can have their worldliness and their carnality and God too. And that's not what Jesus was about. Amen. He said in verses 62 and 63, He said, what and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They wanted Jesus to make them feel good about themselves. They wanted to Jesus to tell them what they wanted to hear, and they wanted Him to become their king and give them flesh to eat and give them loaves and fishes all the time. But that's not why Jesus had come. He said, hey, my words are spirit, and they are life. And they wanted the flesh. They wanted to satisfy their flesh. So we see that some people get offended at Bible preaching because they lack spiritual discernment. They lack spiritual discernment. And then some people get offended at Bible preaching because they have little knowledge of the Scriptures. They have little knowledge of the Scriptures. Some people who get mad at Bible preaching are easily offended at what the preacher says because they don't know enough Bible to realize that what the preacher says is right. And I've had people come up to me after I've finished preaching and they've said, "Where did you get that? I can't believe you said that." And I'll take them to the Bible where it says, you know, just what I said, and they'll be like, "Oh, yeah, I see." You know, and people come and they'll try and straighten a preacher out and they'll try and tell the preacher, "Hey, this is what the Bible says," but they've never read the Bible before in their lives. They've never read the Bible through. They've never studied the Word of God, and yet they're trying to tell the preacher, "Hey, this is what the Bible says." Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Now the Jews of all people should have known that the manna their fathers ate in the wilderness was a type of the bread of life of Jesus Christ. The manna that they ate in the wilderness, the water that they drank from the rock in the desert was a type of Jesus Christ, who was the bread of life and the rock of ages. But they didn't recognize Jesus as their Messiah, even when He was standing before them, even when He was speaking to them and showing them from the Scriptures that He was their Messiah. They didn't believe. They didn't understand, because they didn't know enough Bible to realize that He was the fulfillment of every messianic type in the Old Testament. They didn't realize that. And Jesus didn't say anything in these verses that was not true. Everything He said was in line with the Scriptures, and yet the Bible says they murmured at Him. They got offended because they didn't know enough Bible to understand that what Jesus was telling them was right on. And listen, folks, we need to get in this book. We need to find out what it says. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Amen? The reason why a lot of people get upset at Bible preaching today is because they possess little or no knowledge of the Scriptures. Another reason why people can't take Bible preaching without getting offended is because usually there's sin in their lives. There's sin in their lives. I want you to notice where Jesus was preaching, when He offended this bunch. The Bible says in verse 59, "These things said He in the synagogue as He taught in Capernaum." Jesus was preaching in Capernaum. And the fact that this all happened in Capernaum is significant because the Bible says there in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 23 that Capernaum was one of the cities that Jesus upbraided for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they would not repent of their sin. Now you mark it down, when a person gets mad and offended at Bible preaching, it's usually because they've got some sin in their life that they've not gotten right, that they've not confessed. You know, I've never met a Christian who was right with God and living a consistent Christian life who didn't love straight Bible preaching. I remember sitting in church under Bible preaching, and I remember at times I felt like crawling underneath a chair because I felt like the preacher was preaching right at me, straight at me. And I used to get mad. I used to get upset at that. And I used to sit there and I used to harden my heart and I wasn't living for the Lord. I wasn't doing right. There was sin in my heart. My relationship with God wasn't right. And I'd be downright miserable. Other people would be having themselves a time. "Amen, preacher, you're right. Preach it," and I'd be thinking, "Oh man, when is this service going to end?" And you know, the harder and the straighter the preaching got, the worse I liked it. And the more miserable I got. But I tell you what happened when I got right with God. I tell you what happened when I got my heart right with God. Funny thing happened. My whole world turned upside down. And that old-fashioned, sin-killing, devil-hating Bible preaching I used to hate so much, I started to like. I started to enjoy. I started to get a hunger for. And I couldn't get enough of. See, that's what happens in the life of a person who's got a heart for God. They'll love straight Bible preaching. A person whose heart is right with God will love preaching from this book. But a person with sin in their life is going to find old-time preaching offensive and undesirable. People who aren't right with God get mad at Bible preaching because usually there's unconfessed sin in their life, and that sin affects their spiritual discernment and it keeps them from spending time in the Word. My mom used to tell me, "Hey, this book will keep you from your sin, or your sin will keep you from this book." People with unconfessed sin in their lives aren't spending time in the Word, and usually, because they're not spending time in the Word, they lack the spiritual discernment that they need, that only God's Holy Spirit can give them, and to understand the Scriptures and to receive the message, and that's why they get offended at Bible preaching. Over in 1 Kings chapter 22, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, old Ahab, old wicked King Ahab's getting ready to go to battle with Jehoshaphat. And they're talking there about battle plans and whatnot, and Jehoshaphat says, "Hey, Ahab, I think we need to get some counsel. I think we need to hear from the prophet before we go into this battle. I'm not sure if we're gonna be successful, and I would just feel better if we heard from the prophet." And so Ahab said, "Oh, I got 400 of those, 400 prophets of Baal," and he brought them in there, and they said, "Oh yeah, King Ahab, you go ahead. You're gonna prosper. You go ahead and you go into this battle, you're going to win. God's with you, God's for you." And they just told Ahab everything that he wanted to hear. And Ahab said, "See, told you. We need to go and we need to fight this battle." And Jehoshaphat said, "Now wait a minute." Jehoshaphat had a little spiritual discernment. He said, "Now wait a minute now. Is there a prophet of the Lord beside? Is there a prophet of God here that we can hear from?" And Ahab said, "Yeah, there's one of those. There's one of them. His name's Micaiah, and I hate him. He never says anything good about me. He never has anything good to say." And Jehoshaphat said, "Go get him. I want to hear from him. I want to hear a man of God." And Ahab said, "Well, he's over in the prison. He had him locked up." And they went and they got old Micaiah out of the prison. And he was just an old leather-lunged preacher and old leather-lunged prophet. And they said, "Hey, listen, Micaiah the king is calling you before him. Don't give him a hard time. I mean, just tell him what he wants to hear. Be nice. Be gentle. I mean, you're in this prison because you were so hard on him before." And Micaiah said, listen, boys. What God tells me to say, I'm going to say. And that's all I'm going to say." And so he got before Ahab, and Ahab said, "Oh man, I can't believe this is, oh man, I don't like this guy. He never says anything good to say about me. He's not a positive preacher, and he doesn't make me feel good like these prophets of Baal. What is he going to say now?" And Micaiah got up there and said, "Ahab, if you go out in this battle, you're not going to prosper. You're going to die." And Ahab said, "I see Jehoshaphat. I told you, this guy, I don't like this guy." And they took him back to prison. And what happened? Ahab, because of sin in his heart, sin in his life, he was an idolater, he was a Baal worshiper, he was married to Jezebel, and he wasn't right with God. And because he wasn't right with God, he wouldn't listen to the preacher. He got mad at the preaching, he got mad at the preacher, and he went to battle against the word of the Lord, and he died. The Bible says a soldier drew a bow at a venture and let that arrow fly just anywhere, and it found its way to the heart of King Ahab. I'm telling you what, some people who get offended at Bible preaching, it's usually because they're sinning in their life. Another reason why people get offended at Bible preaching, and I hope you're all still with me, and I just got one more point to go. Another reason why people get offended at Bible preaching is because they're lost. They've never been truly saved. Let's look at John chapter 6. Look at verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth little. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." The Bible says that in this crowd of disciples there were some that believed not. And I believe the people who got offended at the words of Jesus the most, they may have been professors, but they weren't possessors. They were non-believers. And you see, a lost person, someone who's not a believer, someone who has never been born again, someone who doesn't have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of them, won't be able to sit under Bible preaching for very long before they either get right with God or they just plain get mad. I'm going to preach a message one of these days. Don't get right, don't get mad, get right. I haven't had an opportunity to preach that yet. I probably never will. That's one of the messages, you know, God said, oh, you keep that for a rainy day, and it's not come. But, you know, over in Mark chapter 6, John the Baptist, he was thrown in prison by Herod. And the Bible says that Herod would listen to John preach. And the Bible says that some of the things that John told Herod to do, he did, and he did gladly. He heard John gladly. Until one day, John the Baptist said, hey, Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother Philip's wife. You're living in adultery. You're living in sin. You better stop that. You better get that right. And old Herod, he went home and he told Herodias, his wife, his live-in lover, what John the Baptist had said. And boy, that just got her blood boiling. And she got mad. And she wanted that Baptist preacher dead. But Herod listened and heard John, some of the things that John did. He heard him gladly. Well, Herod had a birthday party, and Herodias' daughter came in and danced before Herod and all of his men. And you know, Herod was pleased with Herodias' daughter's dancing and whatever, and he said, listen, I'm going to give you anything you want and the half of the kingdom. And so she went home and she said, hey, Mom, what should I ask for? The king's promised to give me anything, even to the half of the kingdom. What should I ask for? And that mother told her daughter to ask for the head of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist lost his head that day because of a henpecked husband, a dancing daughter, and a wicked wife. And you know, King Herod's in hell today wishing he had listened to that old leather-lung Baptist preacher. And he's wishing today that he had listened to what he had to say. Some people get offended at Bible preaching because they lack spiritual discernment. That's true. Some people get offended at Bible preaching because they don't know enough Bible. They possess little knowledge of the Scriptures. Some people get offended at Bible preaching because there's sin in their life. And some people get offended at Bible preaching because they're lost and they've never been truly saved. Before I close this morning, let me leave you with this thought. We've looked at some reasons why people get offended at Bible preaching. The people Jesus was preaching to, the Bible says, were His disciples. And there's no doubt in my mind that He loved them deeply. And I'm sure it broke His heart to see them turn their backs on Him that day and walk away from following Him. Boy, what a tragedy. And no preacher wants to see people offended and walk away and turn away from the truth. That breaks a preacher's heart. But you know, not everyone who was listening to Jesus preach that day got offended and left. There were some who stayed. And after most of that crowd had turned their backs on God, 11 men, not including Judas the betrayer, which, you know, he was to betray the Son of God, 11 men, not including Judas, decided that they were going to stick with Jesus. And they did. In fact, most of them, except for one, died a martyr's death because they would not deny His name. John the Baptist was the only one that was not martyred. He died on the Isle of Patmos, but they tried to kill him. I know that. But why? What caused these men to want to stay with Christ when everyone else had forsaken them? When everyone else had forsaken Him? How come they didn't get offended? How come they didn't get upset? How come they didn't murmur and complain about the preaching? How come they stayed with Jesus that 3.5 years while He ministered here on this earth and He preached and He taught and He went to Calvary and died? How come they stayed with Him? And how come afterward they went and they took His gospel into all the world? What caused them not to get offended? I'll tell you what caused them not to get offended. I'll tell you why they didn't get offended. They didn't get offended because of their love for the Savior. These men loved their Lord. And they knew that He loved them and that He was willing to lay down His life for them. Christ's love had changed their lives forever. How could they forsake Him? How could they turn their backs on Him? How could they turn their backs on the way, the truth, and the life? Where would they go? Who would they turn to? They believed and were sure that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter, the man who spoke up for the rest of the disciples here, the history tells us that he was martyred for his faith in Christ, and he was crucified upside down. What made a man like Peter decide he was going to stay with God? He was going to stay with Jesus. They believed that His words were life-giving. That's why. They believed that he was the living word. They believed that he was the bread of life come down from heaven. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we have God's word today. When a person understands that God's word is life and that they cannot live without it, nothing in this book is going to offend them. No amount of Bible preaching is going to turn them away from following Jesus. When a person loves God, when a person realizes how much God loves them, and that His Word is a love letter to them, they'll not be easily offended by Bible preaching. Turn with me, in closing, to a verse in the book of Psalms. Psalms 119. Psalm 119. And find verse 165. And I'll be done. Thank you. You've been so patient. You've listened so intently. Let me read you this verse. Let's read it together. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the message from your word. And Lord, I pray, God, now as we close this service down, that Lord, our hearts and our minds would be drawn back 2,000 years ago to that same spot, that same place, Lord, that we just read about as Jesus preached and as those men were offended and turned away from the truth and walked no more with the Lord. And yet there were 11 men who chose to stay and who said, we have no place to go. Thou hast the words of eternal life. And they chose to stay with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that that decision would be made by all of us here tonight, Lord, or this morning. And Lord, I pray that during this closing time of the service, God, that you would do a work in our hearts. And Lord, I thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary for me, for my sins. Lord, I know that my sins put you on the cross, and it was because of my sins that you were nailed to that old rugged tree. And Lord, I want to commit my heart and life afresh anew to you today and let you know, Lord, that I love you and that I will not turn away from you, from following you and from preaching this book. And I pray, Lord, that these here this morning would do also, Lord, make a commitment in their hearts and their lives to follow your word, to stay true to you, and to stay committed to this book, Lord. It is life. It is the only hope that we have. It is the only hope that our homes have. It's the only hope that this town has, this book. Its message is life-giving, life-changing. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to heed it, hearken to it, and apply it to our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand this morning and we'll sing a song in closing. Hymn 602, and the altar's open. If God's spoken to your heart in some way, we're just going to sing these few verses, and then we're going to close. But if you'd like to come this morning and pray, I want to encourage you to do so. Maybe you're a Christian here this morning, and you need to recommit your life to Christ. I encourage you to come and do that this morning. Maybe you're here this morning, and you're not saved. You don't know Christ as your Savior. Now is the time. The Bible says, behold, now is the day. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. If you're not sure of your salvation, if you've never been saved, if you've never been born again, I want to encourage you to come this morning. Let me take a Bible and show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. Let's sing 602, and we'll close. I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. Thank you for coming this morning. Have a great and wonderful day. God bless you.